Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys discuss Bill Belichick becoming the next head coach at North Carolina. They discuss the injury to Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen's MVP run. And why is Jeff mad at Sauce Gardner? But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? We are about to find out. Welcome back to finally an in-person episode of the What Do They Know podcast. Nick and Jeff back with you for week 15 recap. Actually recording on a Tuesday this week.
Yeah.
So we had a rare night off from this guy's work schedule over here. Not working an overnight tonight. So we decided that we would get together before he jets off to sunny Arizona for a few weeks and get this episode rolling. So, I mean, if you're listening to this, it means that we figured out our technical problems. as of right now, as of this second, it appears to be working.
Yeah, we use the term figure it out very loosely.
Didn't figure it out. It just decided to work, I think is the more correct thing to say. But regardless, we're off and running. So I don't want to waste any time in case this thing decides that it's not going to work.
Yeah, we're going to jet through this.
I'll let you kick it off with top stories.
Perfect. So top stories coming from Thursday Night Football, Devondre Campbell, obviously, 49ers linebacker, walked off the field, the bench area. It's just one of those things where any player that quits on your team, it's definitely a big highlight of the week, because it's just a rare occasion that you don't see happen, because these players put their blood, sweat, and tears on the line for a very grueling off season and during the preseason and then training camp. Everything accumulates to just throw it away. It's very unusual for this circumstance to happen. But I definitely wanted to shine a light on this sort of thing, because Devondre Campbell, he was a focal point for that defense because Drake Greenlaw was recovering from his torn Achilles from last year's Super Bowl. Yeah. And he was playing 90% of the defensive snaps before this week, but Drake Greenlaw reclaimed his starting position. But it seemed Devondre Campbell was eyeing more of a selfishly starting role and didn't really want to be overtaken by anyone. I heard he got overtaken in the depth chart by D. Winters as well, so that kind of put a sour note on his attitude as well. Obviously, when they asked him to go back into the game, D. Winters left the game with a neck injury, and then he said no in the second quarter. So they bypassed him on that one, and then they asked him to go back in during the third quarter when Drake Greenlaw started feeling some discomfort, and I feel like his knee area. And that's when he took off was walked off the bench area into the locker room. So it's definitely one of those things where you don't hear about, but when it does happen, it's definitely one of those things where your teammates are going to rag on you. You're going to get suspended. You're going to get cut. You're not going to find another opportunity in the NFL that season. Less than likely. It's definitely going to be an off-season thing where you're going to have to reevaluate your character. And if you're worthy of I guess, an interview or a workout for these other teams, they're definitely going to ask you about that situation. You better come prepared when it comes to giving it the right answer. It's not going to be an answer. It's going to be the right answer.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the only time I can recall anything like this is Vontae Davis, the corner who at the time was with the Bills.
Yeah.
I think, wasn't it halftime? He basically just retired.
He retired from
football. Even that I would classify as a little different, still not good, but it wasn't where he was like intentionally being defiant in the manner that this guy was.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, but I'm not, at like how strong the comments were after the game from, I think, George Kittle, Kyle Shanahan. I think even Debo had something to say about it. Like, and everybody was very transparent and very vocal that they didn't appreciate what he did,
right?
And rightfully so. I think it speaks to him as a person a little bit, in a negative way for sure. I mean, Chris Canty on ESPN Radio always talks about how you have your character, but then you also have your football character, and how this did not portray his football character in even a positive way whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, so obviously they suspended him for the remainder of the season. I really question if who's going to go pick him up next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we I mean,
and he signed a 1-year deal, so he's a free agent in the offseason. Yep. So
he's fair game to all other 31 teams, but like who's going to go out there and take a chance on a guy who just quit on his team?
Yeah.
I just think it's a terrible, terrible look. And to my knowledge, has he made a comment? Has he come out and said anything?
I haven't heard anything.
I don't think he has at this point. We're now we're 5 days after, because it was a Thursday night game, and mm-hmm. there's been no comment from him whatsoever that I'm aware of.
Yeah, the longer he drags this out, the worse it looks on him.
Yeah, man, come out and say something. Like, I had to crap. I had to say something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you bring up Vontae Davis, I think it's a little different situation. Obviously, Vontae Davis retired. At that point, you just know as a person,
still unusual.
But at this point, you're physically capable. You're playing 90% of your snaps. Obviously, you're there. You have the physical capabilities to do it. At that point, it's just all mental.
Yep.
And regardless of what happened, I don't know if it was a pout session because D. Winters and Dre Greenlaw overtook him in the depth chart, or whether he was not.
I think that's exactly what it was.
I'm assuming that's what it was.
That's what they said, is that he lost his starting job and he threw a little bit of a hissy fit.
Yeah. And what I heard from George Kittle was that there was some foreshadowing before the game that he was throwing some words around pregame, but he didn't go into details about what exactly. But obviously, we can all assume. But at this point, just say something, even if it's medical, physical, or whatever. But at the end of the day, this is a job, and this pays your bills, and this sets you up in the future, because right now it's looking like you don't have a future in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, that's my top story.
Okay.
Moving on, we got Patrick Mahomes' injury. So Kansas City Chiefs in general, they're 13-1. They don't seem like a 13-1 team, to be honest with you.
Don't.
Patrick Mahomes' injury is definitely going to be a step back. They have Carson Wentz, right, as their backup quarterback. Yep. Obviously, depending on what version of Carson Wentz I suppose you get, they might tread water, they might take a step back. I'm not exactly sure what Carson Wentz. We haven't seen him in a while. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes' injury, it's a high ankle sprain is what I hear. So
week to week. He did practice today.
He practiced.
They listed him as a full participant.
That's crazy to me.
I know.
That's crazy to me. But I mean, at this point, there's three games left. So you're 13-1. You have a soft two game lead over Buffalo, because obviously Buffalo holds the head to head. So it's a soft two game lead. But I mean, do you really want to sacrifice his Patrick Mahomes' ankle on trying to secure that number one seed? Get the bye week or whatever. I mean, I'd probably trot Carson Wentz out for this week and see where you stand after this week and see where you go. But Patrick Mahomes' injury, if that lingers, obviously that offense has not been as dominant or as steamrolling as it has been in the past. So any sort of hiccup, especially with Patrick Mahomes, is definitely a red flag for that Kansas City Chiefs team in general.
Yeah, it's really bad timing for them to have this happen for a couple reasons. I mean, their next two games, they have a home game against the Texans, which is good for him because he doesn't have to travel.
Right.
But then they're playing on Saturday this week,
mm-hmm.
Because they have a Christmas Day game on Wednesday, and that's at Pittsburgh, I believe.
Yeah.
So they have two short weeks in a row for him to recover, and I think it's a really interesting topic. Like, what's more important? Like, if let's just say he's 70%, 75%, right, on that ankle. Do you throw him out there because you feel like it's that important to get the bye week?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my argument would be, you saw them last year win the Super Bowl when they didn't have the bye week. They didn't have home field advantage. So you know they can do it.
Right.
And if he is truly not fully healthy, is it going to do more damage in the long run to him in the playoffs if you're putting him out there and he's not himself? He's not as mobile.
Right.
Right. I mean, we saw what he could do. What was it, 2 years ago, where he had the high ankle sprain against Jacksonville in the second round of playoffs, could barely walk, but didn't, I think he missed a couple snaps, but really that was it. He played the next week against the Bengals, obviously had that huge highlight, like you know, scramble up the right sideline that ended up for the game winning field goal in the AFC Championship game. And then ultimately obviously played in the Super Bowl with a week of rest. So he's shown that he's a super tough guy, mm-hmm. and he's shown that he can deal with the high ankle sprain before. Right. Obviously it's never going to be the exact same injury. It's probably always going to feel a little different.
Right.
But I think it's a really interesting topic, like how they view it, how bad it really is. And if they think that this year, the way they're playing, the way they're, you know, have all these close games, is it really that crucially important that they get the bye week?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be curious to see, you know, what, as the week progresses, as we get closer to Saturday, how he's feeling. I mean, we'll never know for sure. Right. But what they ultimately decide to do.
Yeah, the high ankle sprain that he suffered in the playoffs is obviously playoff football. Yeah. You're not going to take Patrick Mahomes out of those games. But this, you still have three games left in your season, and then the playoffs start. That's quite a bit of tenure of games with rolling out with a high ankle sprain. To me, I think the safe play right now, especially with the 2-game lead over the Bills, is you trot Carson Wentz out this Saturday. See where you stand after that, and if Patrick Mahomes feels up to it to play Wednesday in Pittsburgh, then that's the way you go with it. But as of right now, I think it's way too great of a risk to trot out Patrick Mahomes on a short week with that high ankle sprain.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: if he doesn't play, it's really realistic that the Bills will take over the number one spot. So. Yeah. The Chiefs next three games, we've already talked about a couple of them, right? They have Houston this week, then the Steelers, then they finish the season with the Broncos, who are 9-5,
right?
Not a walk in the park.
Yep.
Without Mahomes, they very easily could go 0-3.
Right.
Now, conversely, the Bills last three games, New England, the Jets, New England. So the Bills are going to go 3-0, right? The Bills are going to be 14-3 at the end of the season, barring something completely unforeseen, right? So it's not ridiculous to say that if Mahomes doesn't play, they are going to lose that number one spot. They are going to lose that bye week.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be really curious, man. I think that this is the Bills' opportunity. Like, they need to, you know, play their best football, not take anything for granted. And
right. And
in the event that he doesn't play, they really have an opportunity to capitalize here big time.
Yeah, if I'm Kansas City, even if I lose the number one seed, I'm still rolling in the playoffs with a healthy Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. I'm not risking that, to be honest.
And anybody who's listening to this show any amount of time knows that what happens the first 18 weeks of the season does not matter to me as you know, for the Chiefs, like their season starts in January.
Right.
So I just, you know, it's an interesting story, but at the same time, is it just going to be something that we roll our eyes and say, well, it never even mattered to begin with.
Right. Probably, you know? Not.
So, all right. So my top story is something that I never thought that we would say or talk about.
Okay.
But Bill Belichick is going back to college.
Bill Belichick.
So last week, and it's so funny, when this story first came out, I think it was like insidecarolina.com, some ridiculous website that you've never heard of, was reporting that Bill Belichick took a meeting with the University of North Carolina for their head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I literally saw that because it came in, you know, ESPN app as like a developing story.
Right.
And I'm like, get the freak out of here. Like, there's no way. There's no way that Bill Belichick is going to college, much less a random university like North Carolina that is not known for their football. They're very clearly known for basketball.
Right.
Well, what do I know?
Bill
Belichick is the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Right.
And it is just the craziest thing to me. I can't wrap my mind around the fact that he came back to coaching and it's not in the NFL.
Right. I mean, I feel like Bill Belichick has every opportunity to coach in the NFL, but
he didn't.
And that's the crazy part. I don't know who doesn't want him in the NFL. If he doesn't want himself in the NFL, if the NFL doesn't want him in the NFL, I don't know what's going on anymore. But it's definitely a strange view to see him in college, because he's just such a professional that you can't view him taking that again. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a step down, but I mean, in terms of leagues, it's a step down.
I think it is.
Yeah, to college football, especially to a school, like you said, is known for another sport, not football.
Right.
Obviously, North Carolina, who's their quarterback? Wasn't Drake May?
Oh,
wasn't Drake May?
Two years ago.
Yeah, two years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's, I guess, some sort of connection there with the Patriots, but I don't even think Belichick was there when they drafted Drake May. So,
no.
To me, it's a strange thing. I'm not sure if he's trying to stay close to family, maybe out there in the East Coast or something. I'm not sure what overtook his.
So what I've heard is that this is, and this is, I don't know how much I buy into this because this would be a really stupid reason to take this job, but he is trying to set up his son as in his career, because allegedly part of his deal was that they, the Tar Heels basically had to informally name him the coach in waiting. So like when his son, Steve Belichick, who, you know, was with him on the Patriots this year, was the defensive coordinator for the University of Washington. So already is in the college ranks and now obviously will come over and coach with his dad. But that's what I've heard that they're saying all over social media and on, you know, the sports circles, is that Belichick is trying to set up his son for when he's done coaching.
That's interesting.
It's very interesting. And if you're North Carolina, I don't know why you would do that for maybe 2 or 3 years of Bill Belichick. I don't know why. I the whole thing just seems wrong to me. It just doesn't make sense. And I really question, like, hypothetically, right? Let's say that the Eagles fall off a cliff like they did last year, and they lose in the wild card round, and they fire Nick Sirianni. You're going to tell me that if the Philadelphia Eagles with that team come calling, that he's not going to say, peace out, North Carolina?
Right.
Like, I find that very hard to believe. And the same could be said if, and I don't foresee this happening at all, but like, what if Buffalo loses in the wild card round and they fire Sean McDermott?
Right.
You're not going to tell me that Bill Belichick's going to want to go coach Josh Allen?
Right.
I still don't think I will believe this until like week one of the NCAA season. Like he's on the sidelines with his cutoff hoodie that says North Carolina on it. Like, I'm just not going to buy it, man. It just doesn't seem right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what I see, I saw a little snippet about, I think it was Chad Ochocinco asking Bill Belichick about a potential, this is before he got hired for North Carolina, but a potential college job, and hit Bill Belichick's answer was, is it'll be a program that's churning out like actual like members of society rather than football players, like setting up people in the most professional manner and whatnot. And people in the comments would comment like, so it's basically Alabama is what you're trying to set up. Nick Saban's version of Alabama.
And I do think to some degree, like, he will have success because in a roundabout way, college has become very close to the NFL. Like, you have the transfer portal with the NIL money. It's essentially college free agency.
Right.
So I think in that aspect, like, he will be successful. He will be used to like what is now required in college. So, and I mean, at the end of the day, he's Bill Belichick. Like, he's the greatest coach of all time.
Right.
I still think that he will have success. It just doesn't seem right. It seems like he should be in the NFL.
Right. Absolutely. The only hesitancy I have with Bill Belichick is, will his coaching style be a little bit too much for the college kids? Because obviously when you're in the NFL, those are professionals. Like, they know what they're getting into. They know what, but some of these college kids, you got college parties going on. You got all sorts of things going on that Bill Belichick might not, I mean, be in full control over. I mean, you're dealing with 19 to 22 year olds or whatever it is. It's a different element than having actually paid professionals that know this is their duty, and you have a locker room that's already set there that's going to set that example and pull kids aside and be like, hey, this is how things are done here, this is what we expect from you, and if you can't cut it, then you're going to get cut. And it's definitely going to be a different element for Bill Belichick, and it's going to be definitely interesting. But like you said, it's definitely a weird thing to see. And I think Bill Belichick definitely is better suited for the NFL, and it's just going to be a wonky look. It will come week one with the UNC cutoff hoodie. We'll see how that goes.
Excuse me. And then my second top story, the MVP race is done. Okay. And it's Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
In a runaway. Like, it's not even close.
Yeah.
So his last 3 weeks, he has 852 passing yards, 14 total touchdowns, and no interceptions.
Ever since he proposed to...
It's disgusting.
Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah. I mean, good. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, he's a changed man.
I mean, he had two passing, two rushing this week. He had 3 and 3 the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the game before that was the weird one where he got credited for at least one passing, one rushing, and one receiving touchdown. Mm-hmm. Like, the dude is playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
So to me, the MVP race is over.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take it one step further. This is the Bills' year.
I'm doing it.
I'm saying that this year, this is the year that the Bills are going
to
do it.
What happened to not knocking Kansas City until you see it happen?
The last 3 days as we were preparing for the show, I'm like, am I going to say it? Am I going to do it? Because I truly feel like this is the year. If let me rephrase it a different way, and I'm not backpedaling, I'm not hedging, but like, if they don't do it this year, they will never do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way I see it. Like, this year, the way they're playing, the way Josh Allen is playing, the way that, you know, Kansas City has basically 13 wins in one score games.
Yeah.
If they can't find a way to do it this year, they're just, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just not. And so I think that, I mean, Josh Allen is the runaway MVP, and they're in the best position I think they've been in the Josh Allen / you know, Sean McDermott time.
Yeah.
For them to get it done.
Yeah. The one thing that with the Bills, though, is they're going to have to figure out something with their defense, because they've allowed 90 points over the last 2 weeks or something like that. That's insane.
Yeah.
You cannot roll with that into the playoffs. I know Kansas City hasn't been the offensive juggernaut that they've known to be, but rolling with that defense that they've had the past 2 weeks is not acceptable. And that's just asking to get during the playoffs. And that's just going to be a waste of a season for Josh Allen. And like you said, it might be their best opportunity throughout this whole tenure of Josh Allen here.
Yep.
But I agree with you. This is the best opportunity they've had. Even during the past 5 years, even with all the AFC championships and divisional playoffs matchups that they've had, we had Kansas City. This is the best team and feels like the most complete group they've had. So if it doesn't happen this year, like you say, it's nails in the coffin probably for Sean McDermott in general there too.
Yeah. Yep. Which is just crazy that we're sitting here saying this, and I have no problem admitting when I'm dead wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I both at the beginning of the season said that we thought they were going to be basically not good.
Yeah.
We thought they'd not make the playoffs.
Yeah, we thought they'd take at least a step back.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's been the furthest thing from it. So it's been a really, really fascinating to watch them. And I think they're in a really good spot.
But, yep.
All right. Overreactions.
All right. So for my first one,
I love when you start and you just laugh before you say anything. I just immediately know that it's going to be good because the dude's just laughing at his own take. Like, you can't even take him seriously.
With overreaction at this point, because we're 15 weeks into the season, like, how much of an overreaction? Like, these teams know what they are, but so I like try to like liven it up a little bit.
Okay.
So for my first one, I got Shane Steichen should be fired for that trick play that they ran against the Denver Broncos. You have a quarterback that's completing 40% of your passes, and your trick play is asking for 3 complete passes on one play.
Yeah.
He should be fired.
Just one play. You're done.
You're done.
See ya.
Get him out of here.
You're an idiot. That was the worst play I've ever seen. You're fired.
Yep. You're relying on Anthony Richardson to complete 2 passes on that play. He's completing 40%. It's not happening.
The numbers don't add up there, Shane.
The math is not mathing on that one.
Oh,
and look what ended up happening. Your wide receiver threw an interception for a touchdown. Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the moment where you're just like, dude, less is more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those that didn't see the play, it was Anthony Richardson passed it to Odonai Mitchell,
yep.
And then pass it back to Anthony Richardson. But on that second pass, back to Anthony Richardson, Nick Bonito intercepted it, took it back to the house for a quick 6. Like I said, your quarterback's completing 40% of his passes. You're expecting him to make 2 complete passes on one play? Stop it. Shane Steichen, you're better than that. Please. Jonathan Taylor, I know he fumbled in the end before the end zone and it went for a touchback, but that's your bread and butter.
Yeah,
don't punish him, bench him for a series if that's what you want, because that sort of play is unforgivable basically, because we see it happen every year, probably even multiple times a year. But that's your franchise running back, I get it, but to run that sort of play with Anthony Richardson at this point of his career, I'm just not I'm just not seeing the vision.
You know what's so funny is I feel like every couple weeks we'll have an offensive coordinator, or in this case, just a play caller, just get too cute and really change the game. Like the one that comes to mind is Sunday Night Football earlier in the season. I want to say like week four, week five, it was the Bills and Ravens matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Ravens came out on fire. They had, you know, 2-3 touchdown lead, something like that. And in the second half, the Bills were kind of like, you know, creeping in, you know, the offense was clicking, and then they ran some stupid, ridiculous, like double pass and Josh Allen got lit up and like fumbled the ball, and Baltimore recovered. And like the game was literally over at that point. Like you could just feel that it was done. Like they ruined all the momentum, any chance they had. And I feel like coaches, like it sounds good in theory.
Yeah.
And then you don't execute. And before you know it, like all the momentum that you've just accrued is out the window. Cause like I was watching that game, the Colts came out on fire.
Yeah.
They were up 10-0.
Yeah. Yeah. They had a stranglehold in that first half for sure. I mean, Bo Nix had 3 interceptions throughout that game. So it's just one of those things where you think you're going to catch them off guard, and you think you're being smarter than you're outsmarting your opponent, whatever. But when it comes to trick plays, there's a reason they're trick plays. There's a reason that you save those for usually playoff matchups, because that's when the opponent really doesn't see it coming, because you're just trying to trudge down the field, and your points are valuable at that point. But I mean, if you're the Colts, you had a kind of a stranglehold on the Broncos at that point. They weren't really matching up well with you at that point of the game. Just keep driving down the field. And then, with Jonathan Taylor, or if you want to run it with Anthony Richardson, you can. It's just one of those things where, you outsmarted yourself at that point.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate. My second one, you'll love this one. So this stems from me benching Brian Thomas in every league.
Love it.
And Sauce Gardner is the most overrated quarterback in the league.
Dude, I 1,000% agree with you.
Okay. And he should not be given an extension in the offseason.
As a Jets fan,
I
couldn't agree more.
Perfect.
The dude either gets beat or gets called for holding. One of the two. Like, he is so handsy. I feel like, to his credit, his rookie year, he was phenomenal.
Right.
Like, he literally was, like, a game-changing corner.
Yeah.
Like Revis Island-type corner.
Yeah.
But last year, he still was pretty decent, got exposed a little bit. But, dude, this year, it's been a complete, like, he has not been good.
Right.
You know, I agree. I mean, it's not an overreaction. He's not the corner that he came in the league as.
Yeah. I mean, that rookie season definitely set him up for his future, name value that he's had. I mean, going to the playoffs for fantasy purposes, going to the playoffs this year, I benched Brian Thomas in all my leagues because I was like, Sauce Gardner's problem is going to match up with him whenever he goes to his side of the field. And according to the stats, the Jets allowed the second fewest points to receivers. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to play it safe. I got too cute with it. I benched Brian Thomas, and it torched me. I texted you during the middle of that game. Is Sauce Gardner playing?
Is he alive?
Is he covering him? And you said yes to both. Yeah, and that. Yeah, that upset me in ways that I should not be upset. So at that
point, you're telling me that you were livid at a week 15 Jets Jaguars game
for my fantasy.
Yeah,
absolutely. That, at this point, that's all the value that game has, and that's fantasy purposes. So Brian Thomas, I did not know your game, my man. I apologize.
Shout out,
Brian Thomas Jr. Yep. I mean, I've been rolling with him all year, interchanging him and Zay Flowers, but I made the wrong call on this one. So, Brian Thomas, you are in my starting lineup this week. I'll tell you that.
Oh, boy.
Yep. But, that's my overreactions.
Okay, I like those. Those are fun.
Perfect.
So, my first one, the Lions are done.
That's not fun.
The Lions, this is not fun. It hurts my heart to say this, okay? But I think that they are at a point where they are accruing too many injuries than they can overcome. So this week they lost David Montgomery more than likely for the year. They haven't technically put him on IR yet, but report says he has a torn MCL. They already lost Aiden Hutchinson for the year. Alex Anzalone, I want to say with an arm injury. They lost Carlton Davis. They lost Alain McNeil. Malcolm Rodriguez. Like, the list just goes on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Only one of those are on offense. So their defense at this point is just being completely depleted. I mean, they gave up, what, 48 to the Bills this week.
Yeah.
I just really question how much their defense can hold up I mean, clearly they showed this week that they just can't.
Right.
I mean, it got to the point where Dan Campbell tried to do an onside kick with like 13 minutes left in the game to gain a possession because they literally could not stop Buffalo's defense. And so I just think when it comes to a team like Minnesota or Philadelphia, and quite honestly, I think you even have to put Tampa Bay in the conversation now. Like, are they going to be able to stop? We know they can score, right? That's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But are they going to be able to stop these teams? I really don't know what the answer is anymore. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame.
Yeah.
A team this good, for them potentially to have their season altered by injuries.
Yeah.
It just sucks. It's the worst part of football. But it is, I mean, it's part of the game at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's funny because I feel like the Bills and the Lions are like two sides of the same coin. They have amazing offenses right now, but their defenses, defenses are either struggling or they're facing challenges with injuries. The thing with the Lions, though, is I feel like the NFC has a lot more higher-powered offenses than the AFC side does.
I agree.
AFC
is more defense. Yeah,
absolutely.
Steelers, Chiefs. Yep. Chargers, Broncos,
all defensively minded. The Ravens are probably your biggest challenge offensively, simply because of Lamar Jackson. But in the NFC side, you got, like you said, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans being.
They put up 40 this week on the best defense in the league.
Number one Chargers defense. Yep, absolutely. So that's something to keep in mind. Obviously, Minnesota. If Sam Darnold is not turning the ball over, that team is scoring. Green Bay, Jordan Love. It's a scary route to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the NFC is a gauntlet.
Yeah.
It's an absolute gauntlet.
Yep. So there's just no favors being done with every injury that the Lions accrue. I do find it funny that I see the Lions and the Bills two sides of the same coin, but we're talking about them in two different aspects because one's trending upward and the other one's trending downward.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like. But it just goes to show how much of a powerhouse the NFC has become. But it's not going to be an easy task. I still think they're the team to beat in the NFC side. The Lions are. But if they can't outscore their opponents, it's going to be very challenging to get a defensive reliability there.
Yeah, prior to this week, I always think, like, okay, right now, if the two teams were to match up, like, I would have still taken the Lions over the Eagles.
Mm.
I would not do that right now.
Right.
I just don't think that they
match up
well. the Eagles have a good defense. They can score. They can run the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we'll see what happens. Mm. I hope the Lions prove me wrong because I want more than anything to see them in the Super Bowl.
Mm.
As a casual fan. Like, with no interest in any team that's left in it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think the ideal Super Bowl, in my opinion, is Bills Lions.
Oh, absolutely. I have a repeat of the matchup that we just had.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I would love to see. Mm-hmm. So, all right, and then this one, it's gotta kind of slow down because it might sound ridiculous, but I don't think it's as ridiculous as it sounds.
Okay.
The 49ers should trade Kyle Shanahan to the Bears.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Trade him,
their head coach. They should trade him.
Okay.
So the Saints just traded Sean Payton to the Broncos. Granted, a little bit different situation. He stepped away for a year.
Yeah.
2 years? Year? I don't know.
It was a year.
But stepped away, wasn't coming back to the Saints, right? Mm-hmm. So a little bit different situation. But they got a boatload of draft picks mm-hmm. in return for him. So part two of this is that the 49ers window is completely done with mm-hmm. this group of players, in my opinion. So what better way than to reset, start your clock over, start to get some cheap assets
mm-hmm.
with some high draft picks that you're going to get for arguably one of the best offensive minds in the league, and go trade him to a team that needs somebody to develop their second year quarterback.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's a different way to look at it. It's not super common that head coaches get traded.
Mm-hmm.
It probably will not happen, but I think it should. I think it's
not very many times do you hear of like a win-win trade for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's a win-win. Like if the 49ers, if John Lynch can sit back and acknowledge that their window is either closing slash closed and they need to do something quickly, I think it's the perfect scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking a step back and trying to look at the whole picture. I mean, if you rebuild with Kyle Shanahan, you wonder if Kyle Shanahan wants to go through that.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, and if they perform porously, obviously, at the end of the day, if you're going to fire him or if his contract goes up or you don't renew him, you lose him for nothing anyway.
Right.
So I understand rebuilding and getting everything. Looking at all assets and trading away the assets that you think, I like the idea personally. Yeah. I enjoy it. Actually.
I think it's something where you're like, dude, that'll never happen.
But yeah,
like, but it makes sense. It should. I think it's a great. I mean, I don't think
in Chicago's.
You know, Chicago's not saying no to that.
Yeah, Chicago needs a head coach that has experience. I feel like because right now, a lot of their issues stem from unpreparation. And lack of preparation and time management issues, I feel like. And Kyle Shanahan obviously knows a thing or two, having been to a Super Bowl, having been to NFC Championship games. That's definitely the experience that they need there in Chicago to kind of settle down that whole locker room, that fan base, and Caleb Williams in general, especially an offensive-minded coach such as Kyle Shanahan. It's definitely a good fit. I feel like it's definitely something Chicago should look into.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be curious to see how that whole thing plays out. Well, really with both teams, what the Niners do this year with Brock Purdy this offseason, and who the Bears find to groom.
Yeah. The easy answer is just to hire the next hot offensive coordinator, which is Ben Johnson over in Detroit. That's the easy answer, but I mean, if it doesn't work out the way you plan it to, all of a sudden you're looking for a new QB in 2 years and a new head coach in 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you're right back where you started. Having someone with some experience like Kyle Shanahan definitely settles down the whole mood there in Chicago. I like it.
Yep. Agreed. All right. Power rankings.
Power rankings.
What do you got?
I had no idea what to do with my power rankings because, the Lions losing. Overall, I put the Eagles number one. I shifted them up to number one.
Okay,
I think they're on a 10-game winning streak. It's hard to deny the Eagles' number one spot with that claim. I only set the Lions down to two.
Okay,
this is just one of those games where you face a very good opponent. I'm not gonna knock you down for losing to a very good opponent like the Bills.
Yep.
Number three, I got the Vikings. 12-2, challenging the Lions for the NFC North title right there. I think they're just quietly being the aggressor that no one expected them to be. Number four, I get the Bills. They've been impressive. Josh Allen, like you said, is the runaway MVP in my book as well. The number five, the Chiefs, 13-1 is nothing to sneeze at. They don't ask how, they ask how many type of ordeal right there. So with the Chiefs, it's hard to deny a 13-1 record there. I mean, it's hard not to put them up higher, but with Patrick Mahomes' injury, it's hard to argue that they should be higher. So that's what I got.
Okay. The Chiefs are still not in my top five. still don't think that they are better than these five teams that I have. So number one, I actually put the Bills.
Okay.
I think the Bills are the best team in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're the hottest team in the league. Their offense is on fire. I mean, we've talked about it already. I think they're going to win out. They're going to finish 14-3.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the best. They're the best team going right now. Number two, I have the Eagles. Go back 10 minutes to what I just said. If the Eagles and Lions play each other right now, I think the Eagles win that game.
Right.
That's why I put the Eagles in front of the Lions. Lions are at three for me. Still right there. Still a very good team. Hopefully they can overcome those injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, I have Minnesota. Still it's the damnedest thing because they're 12-2 and I just don't trust Sam Darnold. I just don't. I can't be confident. I can't put them higher than that.
Right.
Even though they could, believe it or not, when all said and done, they could win out, including the last week of the season against the Lions, and clinch the division and the number one seed.
Number one seed.
but I just don't trust them. But they're number four for me.
Yeah.
And then number five, I have Green Bay.
Green Bay.
So the NFC North is the best division in football. Can you imagine having 10 wins at this stage in the season and being third place in your division? How just horrible that would be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be the best division in football that we've seen in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't recall in recent memory a division with this quality of teams. Like, even last year with the AFC North, they didn't have this many teams with this amount of wins.
Mm-hmm.
They all hovered right around 9, 10, 11 wins. These teams are all going to have 12 to 13 wins.
Right.
At least 12, you know, possibly 14.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's a crazy, crazy good division. And so I have Green Bay at five. What they have figured out the last like 6 or 7 weeks with Josh Jacobs has been a complete game changer to their whole offense.
Right.
I mean, at the beginning of the season, he was getting, you know, anywhere from 50 to like 75, 80 yards a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's running the ball down people's throats right now.
Yep.
He's like a completely different player the second half of the season.
Yeah.
So he's really changed the complexion of that offense for me and made them, I think in a roundabout way, it's made Jordan Love have to do less,
right?
Which I think is good because he's shown he has that gunslinger, like going to throw a pick mentality.
Yeah.
And it kind of is preventing him from having to do too much because Josh Jacobs is just running the ball down people's throats.
Yeah. You limit the opportunities that Jordan Love has to
make mistakes.
Yeah. You're only helping yourself there.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs is definitely having like a vintage back when he was in Oakland. I'm pretty sure he was back in Oakland, right?
Yeah.
Before the Raiders moved to Vegas.
Yep.
So Josh Jacobs is revitalized. He's been doing what he's known to do, and that's ground and pound. Green Bay is definitely not going to be an easy out during the playoffs at all.
No.
But yeah, like you said, it must be a little demoralizing to be.
Can you imagine?
10 wins and you're playing probably 2 road games on your way to a Super Bowl run. If you're looking,
they're gonna have let's say 11 or 12 wins, and they're not even gonna be the top wild card spot.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah,
that's insane. They're gonna be the sixth seed.
The sixth seed.
It's unreal.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's definitely a huge advantage, especially in Green Bay, because of how frigid the temperatures get there. But. I mean, I don't know. It's definitely impressive to see that division roll out the teams that they have. And obviously Chicago, if they can figure that out, all of a sudden you're looking at a division with 4 very good teams, pending Chicago's head coaching decision next year. But that's definitely a division to watch for the next 5 years.
Okay.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. So we will finish the show off with our picks. I don't know why we're doing this. I really don't. So I once again just laid an egg last week. I was 1-3. So just to recap, we did 2 game of the weeks last week.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I got right was my lock, which was the Chiefs over the Browns. My upset was Jacksonville over the Jets, which, you know, the Jets play their best football in December when they're out of it.
Right.
I picked the Lions over the Bills in the game of the week, and then I picked the Steelers and the Eagles over the Eagles, in the game of the week. So I got both of those wrong.
Interesting.
So 1-3 brings me to 15-25.
Phenomenal.
Still got a chance.
Outside looking in.
So you're saying there's a chance.
You
went 3-1 last week. Would you like to remind the people who you picked?
Yeah, so for our game of the weeks, both of them, I got them both right. I got the Bills over the Lions, and then and then the Eagles over the Steelers. So what can I say? And then the lock, I had the Ravens over the Giants, and the Ravens basically manhandled the Giants pretty well. Did. And then the upset, Dolphins over the Texans. Dolphins,
you gotta stop picking the Dolphins.
Yeah, stick a fork in them.
Yeah,
Tua, get them out of here. Tyreek Hill, get them out of here. Arrest them. Miami police, where you at?
Oh my god.
Miami police, where you at? Yeah, no longer. Miami does not exist to me anymore.
All right. I love it. So our game of the week this week is going to be Steelers at the Ravens.
Steelers at the Ravens.
Love this matchup. I could watch this game 17 weeks straight, these two teams, and I wouldn't get sick of it.
Right.
So my lock this week is Buffalo over New England.
Okay.
That's like a 14-point spread.
Yeah.
Or something insane. I think, you know, so that doesn't have to be explained any further than that. my upset is Denver over the Chargers.
Yeah.
It's the Thursday night game. I'm a little nervous about this because Denver's the road team.
Yeah.
So they have to travel, short week, blah, blah, blah. But Denver's, I think, playing better football right now than the Chargers. Chargers just are coming off of a beatdown of Tampa Bay. And they have the last couple weeks, ever since J.K. Dobbins went out, they've really struggled to score. And obviously for Denver, scoring is not a problem.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That's my upset of the week. I don't hate it. I don't love it either. I'm kind of like, meh.
Yeah, it's a toss-up game.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm just going to shoot from the hip and see what happens. And then game of the week, I'm taking the Ravens.
Taking the Ravens?
Ravens over the Steelers. You know, Lamar, arguably his best game of the year, 5 touchdowns over the Giants. It's at home. I know it was a one-possession game when they played in Pittsburgh, I want to say, earlier in the season. If I remember correctly, it was a very close game. So flip home field advantage. Give me the Ravens.
Yeah. Game of the week. I got the Ravens as well. So okay. I agree with you on that one. My lock, I got the Lions over the Bears.
I almost took that one.
Did you?
That was my second choice.
Yeah. I feel like the Lions are just too good of a team to lose to the Bears at where they are right now. And for my upset, it's a 1-point spread, but I got the Jags over the Raiders. It's in Vegas, so they got the Raiders.
That should be our game of the week.
That should have been our game of the week.
Jags and the Raiders.
Jags and Raiders.
God.
But the Jags, and at least they put up a fight. I feel like the Mac Jones, Brian Thomas connection has been really impressive.
Mac Jones, all kidding aside, he has not looked bad.
No, since
he came in for Trevor Lawrence when he got annihilated 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He has not looked bad at all.
He's been definitely
stable. I think he's doing, believe it or not, I think he's actually doing something for him, his career going forward. I'm not saying he's going to go out and get a starting job next week or next year, but
right.
I mean, he has looked.
He has solidified a backup role.
Let me say something. He has looked better than Trevor Lawrence this year.
That's a good take.
I don't think that's outlandish to say that in the small sample size, he has looked better than Trevor Lawrence did all season.
Yeah. I feel like Brian Thomas is definitely had a better connection with Mac Jones than he did with Trevor Lawrence, to be honest with you. I feel like it was definitely a little hit or miss and a little hot and cold with Trevor Lawrence, Brian Thomas. But ever since Mac Jones has gone in there, he's been looking for Brian Thomas, and Brian Thomas has been there to receive the balls that Mac Jones has been throwing. So I feel like that's usually the number one telltale sign is how your quarterback can get the ball to your biggest playmaker.
Yep.
And Mac Jones is doing it pretty superbly right now.
Yeah.
Yep. So agreed. But I just think the Jags have a lot more going on than the Raiders do.
100%.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Perfect.
Good. Well, Jeff is going to be on vacation the next 2 weeks, really 2.5 weeks. So it'll either be both of us Skyping from, you know, he'll be in Arizona, or I'll put out something for you guys while he's enjoying his vacation.
So, yeah, no time.
So we'll see what happens, but we will have something next week at minimum.
Yep, absolutely.
But enjoy your vacation.
Have a good
Christmas.
Yep.
Give everybody a hug for me and have
all of the
delicious Arizona foods.
I will send you all the pictures.
Please do. All right.
Yep.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, I'll see you when I see you.
Thanks for listening to What Did They Know podcast. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media outlets to see future episode details. And don't forget to send in any questions or topics that you want to see the guys discuss in their weekly episodes to come.